visiting us online. Thank you for being here. In the future, if you want to visit us, we're currently meeting at Route 33 in Malvern Township, New Jersey, at the Malvern Community Center. And I forgot to mention, my name is Rob Parlanti. I'm a pastor. So if you're ever in the vicinity, we'd love to have you. If you're all watching online, we'd love for you to visit us. We're on YouTube, and we're on Facebook, and other places on our website. So a typical service involves a worship time, where we enter into God's presence and worship. We have a message, or typically we work through a book or a topical message, and we're typically right now going through the book of Romans. And then we have a fellowship time, and then we have a time of groups. Welcome, and we're glad you're here. God's been doing some amazing things the last few weeks, connecting this little ministry here to other people, to other people around this country, and actually in other countries. And it just proves that God is at work, and God is connecting people because he wants the gospel to go out and the gospel of grace to reach people that don't know it or don't understand it, or maybe there's errors in their understanding. So thank you for joining us today, and welcome. So the title of my message this morning is Tie the Knot. Tie the Knot. And we're going to look at Romans. The key verse is Romans 7, chapter 4. Verse 4. Romans 7, verse 4. And we're going to look at verse 1 to 13. So this phrase, tie the knot, I think most of us probably are familiar with that phrase. And we would say, yeah, we know what that means, because tie the knot means so-and-so married, for example, right? So so-and-so tied the knot. So we're familiar with that expression. We're familiar with that form of an expression. So me and my lovely wife tied the knot in May 26th, 1990. So we're coming up on 30 years, amen? So I better do something special for that, amen? Take her away. I'm going to take her away, but amen. 30 years. So 30 years of a wonderful marriage, and actually we dated for four. So it's going on 34 years total of me knowing my wife. So amen. The Lord orchestrated that, and it's a wonderful thing, and I'm so thankful for that. But this idea of tying the knot, where did it come from? Where did the expression come from? So, you know, our computer system today is so wonderful. Google is so wonderful. Just Google and type in where this expression came from. And I'll tell you what it told me today, and I'll share it with you. So the origin of tying the knot is either from Roman times, when the bride's girdle was tied in knots on the wedding day, and the groom had to untie the knots prior to consummating the marriage, or, that was one view, from Celtic marriage ceremony of hand fasting, where the hands of the bride and groom were tied together for a marriage contract. So somehow that thing has been going for thousands of years, right? Tying the knot means marriage. But tie means, what's a tie? Well, tie means to attach or fasten something with a string. And knot means to use a piece of string to make a knot. So when we see tie the knot, we have an understanding. Something's tied together and is knotted together. So results of tying something together is tying, like your shoelace. Right? Most of us tie our shoes and we understand tying together in a knot. Unless you have slip-ons, some of the young teenagers are lazy, they don't want to tie their shoes, amen, I know that. But yes, we tie our shoes. We tie the knot. But there's also a knot tying in the spiritual realm. Okay? There's also an untying in the spiritual realm. And it's like this, an unbeliever, someone that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, is tied to this thing that's called the law, and he's also tied to the power of sin. Two things, he's tied to the law, and he's tied to the power of sin. But a believer, when they receive Jesus as their Savior, and they put their faith in him, they're tied to something new, they're tied to Christ. So a man is untied from an old way of living, which is law-based and in bondage to sin. When they receive Christ, they're tied to a new way of living, and that is Christ. And that's what Paul gets at in Romans chapter 7, verse 1 to 13. That's his whole idea here. Something's being untied, and something is being tied together. We are being untied from the law, a way of living in law, and tied to a new way of living in Christ. And Paul uses the illustration of marriage, okay? That a marriage is untied when one of the spouses, we're no longer married, one of the spouses dies. So the point here is, and the basic idea, this whole message is that Paul is telling us, Believers have been untied to the law because they have died spiritually and have been spiritually tied or knotted to Christ because they are alive. And we're going to get through that whole message today and we'll explain that. So in this section of Scripture, I want to look at three types of time: being tied to the law, being tied to Christ, and being tied to sin. Okay? There's a spiritual untying and there's a spiritual time. Okay? When we put our faith in Christ. So that's our three points today. So we're going to look at that. We're going to look at the knot of law, which is Romans 7, 1 to 3, Christ's knot, Romans 7, 4 to 6, and sin's knot, or tying knot, Romans 7, 7 to 13. So if you have a Bible, go to Romans chapter 7, verse 4, circle this verse. This is a home run, wonderful key verse that we should all put in our memory banks because this is such a truthful thing. We're going to expound on that today. What a wonderful scripture, a wonderful verse. Romans 7, 4 says, therefore, my brethren, you also were made to die to the law through the body of Christ, so that you might be joined to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God. Let's bow our heads and now open this service in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for the scriptures and wonderful, wonderful truths all up till now, chapters 1 through 6, and now Romans chapter 7. Paul highlights wonderful truths about your love, wonderful truths about your grace, and this wonderful truth today, that we have died to the law. We have died to that old way. We are united to you. I pray you would speak through my lips to the hearers of this message today, sitting here, and through social media, through the internet, through the website, through YouTube, that they would understand this wonderful truth. They have died to the law. They have been risen with Christ. Thank you for this time, in Jesus' name. Amen. So I've been saying and asking and explaining this one point before I start every message. What is the gospel? Right? What is it, the gospel? I've been saying it week in and week out. Well, this is plainly shown in 1 Corinthians 15, 3 to 4. And I'll read it. It says this: for I have delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. Plainly, nuts and bolts of the gospel is Christ died for our sins, Christ was buried, Christ was resurrected. When we believe in that, we have immediately have a spiritual life. The Holy Spirit comes in. The gospel is God's offer of spiritual life. So the whole book of Romans is telling you, if you believe that, what is under that? What's unfolding that? What truths you have because of that? Okay? If you don't know Jesus, what I'm going to talk about today is not going to apply to you because you need spiritual life. All this is explaining and telling us what we have in Christ. If you don't know him, you can always pray and receive him and just say, Lord, forgive me of my sin, come into my life, and make me new. And he will do it instantaneously. That is it. Nothing more, nothing less. It's Christ plus nothing. Amen. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. But Romans is a wonderful book. There's a lot of doctrines, foundational truths. So we looked at this. I rehash it quick. Romans 1, 16 and 17, the theme verse of the book. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Right? It delivers. It's from salvation and from the power of sin. Romans 2, 4. God's grace leads men to repentance. That was that verse, right? Romans 3, 23 and 24. All men fall short of the glory of God and have sinned. That's the point. Man can never measure up to God's holy standard, and God gave the law to show you can't meet that standard. We looked at Romans 4, 3. Remember Abraham, wonderful Abraham, who in an Old Testament saint, who was looking forward to the cross, was righteous, declared right by faith. Amen? We looked at Romans 5, 17, key verse, that sin spread to all men because of Adam's sin in the garden, right? We are all born with Adam's, in a sense, DNA, spiritual DNA. We are born spiritually dead, and we are in need of spiritual life. That's the whole point of that. And it is also in chapter 5, talks about grace being reigning through Christ, okay? We looked at last week, 2 weeks ago, Romans 6, 5. Remember that verse? You've been united with him in his death. You've also been united with Christ in his resurrection. You are united to Christ. Amen? You're united to him. And what that means the power of sin is broken. And then last week we looked at offering ourselves, presenting ourselves to one of two things. To the old way of thinking, which was residual sin, or to the new way, which is God, who is indwelling us, offering ourselves as being alive from the dead, amen. And that's how we change, and that's how God makes us grow. So much wonderful, wonderful truths. Okay? Justified by faith. Death spread the woman because of Adam's sin. The power of sin has been broken. We offer ourselves to God. Then we come all the way to this, chapter 6. Now we're up to verse 22 to 23 before we get to 7. And I'll read this last verse of those two verses of last chapter 6. But now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit, resulting in sanctification, and the outcome, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know what? It's such, we're freed from sin, and all last week's message, listen to it, says this: when you offer yourself to God, you result in your growth, sanctification, replacing truth with lies, and peace and maturing. That's what God wants. It's always on the table. He says, come to me, offer yourself to me, I will change you from the inside out. Amen. But now chapter 7, Paul changes gears, and he talks about this thing about law, and he says in chapter 7, verse 1, about this marriage, about law, he says, do you not know, brethren, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law has jurisdiction over a person as long as he lives. It seems like a pretty simple, logical question and statement, right? As long as a person lives, he is under the jurisdiction of the law. And that makes sense, doesn't it? But then he talks about a marriage in verse 2 and 3 and 7. He says, for the married woman is bound by law to her husband while he is living. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law concerning the husband. So then, if while her husband is living, she is joined to another man, she is called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law. So she is not an adulteress, though she is joined to another man. What's the point? What's he trying to say? What's Paul trying to illustrate here about marriage? He's saying this one thing. If somebody dies in the marriage agreement, there's no longer a marriage. That person is released from the marriage. That person is released from the law of that marriage. Amen? It says, if a person died, that woman, she is released from the first husband. Now she can be joined to another man, and that would be not called adulterous, but that would be a lawful, legal marriage. Okay? She is free because in her first marriage, because her husband died, now she can be joined to another, and she would not be called adulterous. That's what I'm saying. So what's the point? Overall, what's the point? He's saying if somebody dies, they're free from the jurisdiction of the law. That's what he's saying. You're not no longer under the law. So just think about this simply. Mm-hmm. This street in front of us, Route 33, what's the speed limit? I don't know. It's probably 50 miles an hour. If I die, I can't drive a car. I'm no longer required to keep a 50-mile-an-hour speed limit. I'm not alive. You understand? When you die, you're not under the jurisdiction of that law. Same thing in a court trial. Somebody's going to be tried for an offense. If they have no longer a life, you can't try them for the offense. That's the point here. That's the point. So, back in chapter 6 of Romans, Paul said that we die. Remember? We died already, 6, 5, and 6. And he says this, for if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, our old self, remember he said our old man, our old self, the old in Adam, you, or unregenerate you, was crucified in order that the body of sin might be done away with so that you will no longer be slaves to sin. Paul's point in 6 was when you received Jesus, your old man died, you've been risen, resurrected with Christ, that old you has died, and no longer are you under the power of sin. And we can say it like this, you've died to sin. That's what that means. You've died to the power of sin. And then chapter 6, verse 11, he drives it home. He says, can even so consider yourself, King James says, reckon yourself this to be dead. It's the truth. You're no longer under the bondage and the power of sin. Well, here's the opposite. If you're not resurrected with Christ, okay, if you're still the old Adam and the old self, okay, if you're not crucified, you are controlled by the power of sin. You see that? You see that? I said it last week. The only way to ever overcome an addiction, any addiction, is to receive Jesus Christ. It's by his power it is broken, the bondage of that sin, the bondage of that way of thinking. It's only broken by Jesus Christ. You cannot manipulate people's behaviors Only this is the answer, brothers and sisters. And we've met counselors, and we know a lot of people. You can't say it in certain settings because that's not politically correct, but it's Jesus Christ is the answer to break it.
Amen.
Amen? But Paul also talks about this thing about law, right? Now, if you're not crucified, if you have been risen with Christ, you are still under the jurisdiction of this thing called law, right? 613 do's and don'ts. So, you are controlled by the power of sin if you're not resurrected with Christ, and you're under the power of the law. You're under the power of sin. So you have two strikes against you if you don't know Jesus Christ. Amen? You're under the law, and the power of sin controls you. But brothers and sisters, there's wonderful news. The wonderful news, as a believer in Jesus Christ, these two things, put it in your memory and don't forget it. You, and we're going to get to more and more of this now in verse point two. You died to sin. You died to the law. Okay? You died to sin. You died to the law if you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior. You are no longer under the bondage and the power of sin. You are no longer under the jurisdiction of this thing called law. Nobody told me that for 15 years. I mentioned this a couple weeks of my Christian life. I was told, no, no, you have to work to overcome sin. No, no, you have to maintain and keep the law to grow in your Christian life. This verse is telling me, not so. I died, we'll look at it. Verse 4, I died to sin, I died to the law. This is a big, big, big deal. I call it a two-for-one. It's a twofer. Right? When you died and resurrected with Christ, you died to two things, to sin and to the law. Now you're untied from sin and law, and you're knotted, and you're tied, and you're joined to Jesus Christ. That's the next verse. Point two, Christ's knot. You're knotted, you're tied to him. Romans 7:4-6. Romans 7:4. Home run verse. Mark it in your Bibles. Therefore, my brethren, you also were made to die to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may be joined to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit to God. Amen? Therefore, my brethren, you were made to die to the law. Okay. So it looks like we died to the law. We died to the law through the body of Christ, and it says you might be joined to another. King James says married to another. And it says to who? Who are you married to? Who are you joined to? Who is him? Who is him? Who was raised from the dead? That's Jesus Christ. You are now, when you receive him, joined to him. Did you know you've been united, joined, tied to, knotted to Jesus Christ? That is a huge, wonderful truth that we miss. I missed for years of my Christian life. Why? Nobody taught this. Nobody explained it to me. We are in union with Jesus Christ. That is a huge, huge, wonderful truth, because that's the power source to live the Christian life. It's not the source of myself. It's not the source of my flesh. It's him. He's in me. He's my partner. You know what? He's joining me. I'm walking with him hand in hand every day. I'm joined to him. Amen? But there's a reason we're joined to him. Read it. We're joined to him who was raised from the dead in order that we might, wonderful, wonderful point, bear fruit for God. You know what? We are joined to him. Now we can bear fruit for God. We can bear fruit. Bearing doesn't mean producing. Bearing doesn't mean manufacturing. Bearing means his fruit born through you. Amen? John 15, vine and the branches, right? He's the vine, you're the branch. His flow, his life, his fruit flows through you. You know what? If it doesn't flow through you, it's a dead fruit. It's not from him, it's from you, your self-effort. You know what? The only source of fruit is him, right? When you're joined to him, when you're united with him, in order that we may bear fruit. You know what? We all often talk about the fruits of the Spirit, right? Galatians 5:22-23. Remember this? Wonderful verse. We always quote it. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. That's back in Galatians. What's Paul's point? There's no law. There's nothing you can do to manipulate life for you to produce love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's by him who is in you, who is united to you, him flowing through you, John 15. That's what he's talking about here. You've been united with Jesus Christ. Amen? The law, you've been untied from the law. You're united to Jesus. The law can't produce fruit. Amen? It can only It can only produce a dead fruit. That is the issue. That is the situation we are in today in the church. Amen. So many of us have ideas we want to do. I think I want to do this. And is it from God? Is it from Him as the source? Because if it's not, it's a dead fruit. It's a dead fruit. Brothers and sisters, we are united to Jesus Christ. He's the initiator. He's the source. It's so, so important, not often taught, that you're united, you're tied to Jesus Christ. Amen. But here's another thing. What happens when we don't understand that is Romans chapter 7, verse 5. This is trying to keep this thing called law after receiving Jesus and saying, I still have to do it, okay? And I have to do all these things. Here's the effects that we see from a Christian and a non-Christian. It happens to both. It says, for while we were in the flesh, the unsaved passions which were aroused by the law were at work in the members of our body to bear fruit to death. I want you to look at this for a second. Diagnose this verse and dig in. Drill down. When we were in the flesh, the sinful passions were aroused by this thing called what?
Law.
So what is that saying? That's saying that the law arouses and increases this thing called sinful passion. In other words, trying to keep the law increases the arousal of sinful passions. Trying to keep the law does this, increases sin. Now that is crazy to think of it, doesn't it? Trying to keep it increases it. Okay? Trying to keep it arouses it, makes it grow further, keeps you further in bondage to it, and you need to be released from it because you are released from it when you receive Jesus Christ. So many sermons in this country, I know, because I've been there. The first 10 years, I would have preached this way too, before I understood grace, understood my union with Christ. We tell folks every morning, don't do this, do this. I'll give you 3 points. Go this week and try that. You know what you're doing? You're increasing sin. Think about that. You're increasing the tendency to sin. Why? Because you can't keep the law. You can only bear that fruit through Jesus Christ, who you're united to. Amen. He bears the fruit. It's such a hideous thing, isn't it? The devil has us all bound up. When we preach not to do, when I keep telling you not to do something, you'll want to do it, right? And I always use my illustration. If I had a fence and I had a hole in the fence and I told you, Brother George, don't look through the hole, and I told you that every day for a year, you would say, why is he telling me not to look through the hole? And you're going to sneak over there and you're going to look through it eventually, right? Because you want to know why I'm telling you that. That's the way the law works, brothers and sisters. That's the way the law. We're free from the law. We've died to the law, but we constantly, many of us don't understand. When we preach this way, teach this way, we're increasing it. That's so hideous. And also it bears fruit to death, dead fruit. Okay? And dead fruit means it came from you as a source. And you know what? So many times I've heard of it in churches and other ministries, look at the wonderful, wonderful things that one's doing or this one's doing. And I say to myself right off the bat, is that from you or is that from God? Because if it's from you, it's a dead fruit, but it appears to be good. So many Christians today have that mask on to appear their ministry is good. But what is it? What is it? Is it from Jesus Christ as your source united, or is it from you? If it's from you, it's a dead fruit. It has no lasting measure in eternity. It's something fleeting. It's so important to walk in the works God has prepared beforehand for us to walk in. But we need to find that, and that's by prayer. Spirit to spirit, guys. It's not about trying to do something, keeping the law, okay? It appears good, but it's dead. So many, I believe our churches are trapped in this. I'm going to do this for God. It's not from Him. It's from you. It produces nothing. It's dead. But it looks good because I got all these people in my church. Guess what? It's dead. If you're doing that as your source of you. Romans 7, 6 says, now, but we've been released from the law, much better way, we've been released from the law now, having died to that by which we were bound, so we can serve in newness of the spirit and not oldness of the letter. There's a new way. We're released from the law. We died to it. We can serve in newness of the Spirit. You know what? We've been released. We can serve in newness of Spirit. We can bear fruit as God is our source. Why don't we understand? Why don't Christians get this? What is the issue? What's so hard about it? It's been in the Bible for 2,000 plus years. It's right there. We are united to Christ. We died to the law. We died to sin. Why do we go back to the old and we're in the new? Why do we still continue to think we need to do all this law, conduct ourselves, do's and don'ts, when God says, you don't need it, you died to it? Why? I'll tell you why. Because churches teach it. They teach old covenant. Guess what? We're not in the old, we're in the new. We met with this gentleman this week from Uganda, amen? Yeah. And he contacted us, and it blew his mind when we told him about that old covenant, new covenant. He's like, yeah, now I get it. Because he has the same experience in that country that we have in this country. It's just a different culture, same thing. They're trying to do. They're trying to keep the rules. I said, you died to the law. You're risen with Christ. We're in the new covenant. He's like, bingo. And then he said, Rob, do you want to be? And he, I broke down almost in tears when he told me my wife. He goes, can you be my mentor? Okay. And I'm thinking, mortal, I will gladly be your mentor. And I was crying. I actually cried. My wife cried. Because who am I? I told her, I'm just an Italian guy from North Jersey. That's who I am. But God says, I want you to teach that guy. Because he can't get that in seminary, guys. We don't teach United with Christ in seminary. The grace message is something God is revealing. I believe there's a grace revolution. We're in it. Amen. Yes. So he wants me to teach him. And I went home and I went on Amazon. I bought him like 10 books. And I want to really work with Joe. And you'll meet him next week. Wonderful man. Name's Johnson. Now he calls me Papa Rob. Because he says, okay, I'll call you Papa. I said, hey, you can call me Papa. And he calls my wife Mama Laura. So it's Papa Rob and Mama Laura. But anyway, he can't. I said, brother, you can't get this in seminary. He goes, I know. Yeah. Why don't seminaries teach this, guys? Well, because they're back to tradition. They're back to, it was been this way for 500 years. This is the way we did it. We've always done it. Guys, they know it's wrong. Half these pastors know it's wrong. Guys, just say, I'm making a stand now. I'm not doing this anymore. We're in the new covenant. Take a stand. It's not about Christian rules. Take a stand. It's not about law-based living. Take a stand. We're taking a stand here, guys, and God will honor it. Amen. And he's doing it. And he's doing it. Amen. 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 I was so blown away by meeting that guy this week. I met another pastor in Asbury Park. I don't know. We just keep meeting people. I told my wife, Laura, we have a lot of new friends in the past 6 months. Guys I never knew a year ago. Not guy from Texas, guy from Uganda, guy from Asbury Park, a guy from Union Beach. All these people we met. Where are they from? God's connecting. Because we're in a bigger, this is bigger than us here, guys. Grace is, God says, it's been hidden. People have been holding it back. We're not under law. We're not under Christian rules. We're not on law-based living. We're united to Jesus Christ. That's so important. But we don't teach it. We're still serving. We're trying to serve in the oldness of the letter instead of serving in the newness of the Spirit. That is so important. If you got these 2 points today, you need to know this. You died to sin, chapter 6. Power of sin is broken when you've resurrected Christ and you've died to the law because you're united and tied to Jesus Christ. You're married to him. You're joined to him. That is a big, big, big deal. Did you ever hear that before? Did you ever know that? Amen? Nobody told me that 10 years ago. And I wasted 15 years. But you know what? I'm going to preach it and I'm going to teach it. And I know. If I know that and I understand that, I'm not going to ever stop teaching it because people don't know this. Amen? Amen.
Amen.
So what about the law? What about sin? Well, Paul kind of goes back to that in Romans 7:13. Sin's not. I'm going to call it sin's not. And he says this. Well, you know, what does it deal with the law? He says, what shall we say? Is the law sin? May it never be. On the contrary, I would not have to come to know sin except through the law. For I would not have known about coveting if the law had not said, you shall not covet. Now, what was one purpose of the law is it to define sin, right? The Ten Commandments, right? Exodus chapter 20. We know the Tenth Commandment is this, do not covet. But what does he say? I would have known do not covet until it was spelled out in Exodus. But look at the next three verses, 8 through 11. He goes, look how hideous this is. But sin taking opportunity through the commandment, produced in me coveting of every kind. For apart from the law, sin is dead. And I was once alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin became alive and I died. And this commandment, which was to result in life, proved to result in death for me. For sin, taking an opportunity through the commandment, deceived me, and through it, killed me. Look how hideous this is. That commandment said, do not covet. It produced in me every kind of coveting. You see that?
Yeah.
What it was supposed to do, it did the opposite. Okay? This is the power of sin aroused by the law. This is the knot that sin, the lot that law puts us in, because it's trying to point us to another way, which is Jesus Christ. Amen? We go die to the law. You know what? It produced in me every kind of coveting. It was supposed to stop coveting. It didn't produce it. It made the power of sin come alive. It was supposed to stop sin. It made it come alive. It made it worse. Proof to result in death for me was supposed to give me life. It deceived me. It was supposed to help me, he says. I'm kind of paraphrasing. He says, it threw it, killed me. It was supposed to be a way to live. You know what? The law did this. You know Paul, as a Pharisee, tried to keep the law. Yeah. Paul realized he couldn't keep it. Okay? But the law showed him he couldn't keep it. But the law showed him that when I tried to keep it, it aroused my sin. It made it worse. I needed my old self to die. Think about that. I needed that old guy to go away and get cut off. I needed that old man to die, and I needed to be resurrected with Christ. That's how you break the power of sin. The old man dies, you're resurrected with Christ. Paul tried all this stuff. He was a Pharisee. Remember in Philippians, you can read it on your own. Chapter 3, verse 9. Remember? Talks about, I try to have a righteousness on my own, derived from the law. He tried to be righteous by the law. He tried to be right by God by keeping the law. But he said it's through faith. And we said this in chapter 3 of Romans, right? You're righteous by faith. It's on the basis of faith. Paul's points in chapter 3, chapter 4, and chapter 5, 1. And then over Philippians, he also says, talks about his resume of being a Pharisee. You know, I'm circumcised on the eighth day, the nation of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness, which is in the law, found blameless. Paul tried it all, did it all, if you could attain righteousness by the law, Paul is the example of him trying the most. He couldn't do it. He admits it there. You know what? He came to realize that sin, power of sin, needed to be broken, that the law excited that sin, power of sin. He needed to be severed from that. He needed that old man to die. It's so important. Romans chapter 6 and Romans chapter 7, you have died to sin, you have died to the law. It's a huge, huge, wonderful truth we miss. Year after year, year after year, the church goes on and on and on, and tradition, nobody understands these two truths, in my opinion. That's the problem. Why do 10,000 churches close every year in this country? Why? They don't understand the power of sin is broken, and the power, and then you know you've died to the law. They don't understand. They keep trying to keep the law. Yeah. Romans 7, finishing up, 12 to 13 says, so then, the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. Therefore, did that which was good became a cause of death for me? May it never be. Rather, it was sin, in order that it may be shown to be sin by affecting my death, which is good. So that through the commandment, sin would become utterly sinful. A lot of words, very, very wordy, but what's the point? He's saying the law has a purpose. The law is holy, and the law is righteous. Trying to keep the law points you to Jesus Christ. Trying to keep the law arouses more sin. It points to the fact that this old guy, old you, needs to die and be crucified with Jesus Christ. That's what he's saying. Okay? So, you're not under the power of sin anymore, and you're not under the law. You've died to sin. You died to lust. Okay, so in conclusion, do you have a better understanding of your union with Christ? Do you know you've died to the law, and you've died to sin? You've been untied from the law, and you've been tied to Jesus Christ. Did you know that? Do you know that? Do you understand how wonderful that is? Do you understand how powerful that is? Do you understand that this is what's been missing in many of us, our lives, for years? That's the truth of grace. That's the truth of the new covenant. It's a new way to live, not of the old law, but of the Spirit. Amen? You have the power to bear fruit for Jesus Christ. Amen. That is something wonderful. I told that man yesterday, in our Uganda pastor, he said, my guys are stuck. Yeah, in our church. Yeah, our guys are stuck too. Not in this church, but in churches, because they don't understand these truths. Amen. We're not in New Covenant. We're not in the Old Covenant. We're in the New. Amen. He's the source. You've died to sin. You've died to the law. You know what? Trying to keep the law produces more sin, produces more dead works, and arouses sin. You know what? When you unite to Christ, we're raised with Him. That old thing is cut off. We died to the law. We died to sin. We can walk in newness of life. We can bear fruit for Jesus Christ. Amen. You know what? Let's not be trapped. Let's not be trapped and fall back to an old way of thinking. Present ourselves to Him like we saw last week. Offer ourselves to Him to change our minds and realize we died to sin. We died to the law. We can walk in newness of life and we can bear fruit for Jesus Christ. I love it. It's such an awesome truth. Guys, take it home. Put it in your memory banks. Don't ever forget it, because that's what Jesus wants you to know today through this message. Amen. Amen. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? You died to the law. You died to sin. You've been united with Jesus Christ. Huge truth. Wonderful truth. Life-changing truth. The truth the church needs. The truth we all need. The truth that needs to go out, that we're under grace, brothers and sisters, not law. We are in a new dispensation of grace. Amen. Not under law. It's a new way to live. I'm so thankful the Lord taught me that. I'm so thankful this past week this man from Uganda is going to connect with me so I can teach him that, because he can't learn that where he's from. Amen. God is in control. God is a wonderful God. He's working all these things together. Let's be a part of that. Let's be a part of this team. We're in a grace revolution. Amen. Let's move forward. Let's let God use us. We're united to Him. And let's bear His fruit. So I'm going to close this in prayer. Amen. And then we're going to sing our last song. So let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for these truths. All these wonderful, even for me personally this week, connections with people. This is so big. Your message of grace is such a big message. I can't conceive how you're working. But I thank you, Lord, for these truths today. You know, when we've died and resurrected with you, we've died to the power of sin. That is a big, big deal. We don't know it, and I pray that we would put it in our memory banks. And we also died to this other thing called the law. No longer run the law. We run the grace. I thank you for that, Lord. I pray that those who listen to me today put this in their minds, rest in it, work it through, and realize that's what you want. You want us to bear your fruit when we're united and connected to you. And that's personally in our lives, and that's through us to others. You want to use us. Thank you for your message of grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Because I need to know who you are.
Your precious and holy name I pray, Jesus. Amen.